back here once again. Welcome to Steel and Naz, Mazz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located at Quincy Point at the Mazz Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, we're throwing a little change-up at you this week. Well, you know, this is kind of a sports podcast. We're also open to pop culture and, you know, big Jimmy Askin's dreams of once becoming a Hollywood actor. So tonight, we said, screw it. Let's have a Hollywood actor on. So, Quincy native, Walston guy, a Hollywood actor who's been featured in the Netflix original series Love, The Birthday Boys, Parks and Recreation, and The Lead, just to name a few, Michael Mitchell. I thought it was an outstanding interview, a bit of a, you know, change of pace from our last episode of Matt Duffy talking about his dream in Major League Baseball to, you know, a kid, you know, who walks the same street as us, you know, found his spot with an opportunity in Los Angeles and, you know, really making the most of it.
Different journeys. Seemed like the same mentality. Just keep fucking plugging away. Keep plugging away, whatever
grind,
it takes.
Grind.
Quincy guy, one guy, Milton guy. The rivalry's still there.
Yep.
I think we'll
meet at BK tomorrow.
Yeah. Fantastic interview.
It was good.
Afterwards, we'll have our reactions from the first 5 weeks in the NFL, including where the Patriots sit in the playoff race at 2-2, even though, like, it hasn't even felt like they've been, like, all on the same team for the last 2 weeks with COVID. Sitting here with the MLB playoffs in full swing, we're recording on Thursday night. Carlos Correa just hit a walk-off home run for the Astros, so the Tampa leads 3-2 now. And Anton's not here tonight, but he must not be sitting pretty in his basement right now. And then on the other side, we got the Dodgers trying to tie things up tonight at 2-2. We have our final thoughts on the NBA season as the Los Angeles Lakers. Congrats, Rondo, screw LeBron, on winning the NBA championship over the Miami Heat in 6 games. We'll also touch upon UFC's big tilt of the year, Justin Gaethje against Khabib, which, I mean, that should be
amazing.
Afternoon session. Yeah, great.
2 p.m.
Yep.
Get ready.
It's 2 p.m.?
Yeah. Oh, Abu Dhabi, yeah. Baby. Gonna be a hell of a Saturday.
Yeah. We'll have our steel salute per usual, my bonehead of the week. And we took a bye week last week, same as the Patriots. But don't forget to tune in to our Steel and Naz NFL Countdown Live every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our Facebook and Twitter channels. All right, here we go. Michael Mitchell. We're now joined by Quincy native Hollywood actor Michael Mitchell. Was that a good enough introduction for you?
Yeah, it's a great introduction. Yeah. Hollywood actor sounds cooler than... I mean, I maybe won't deliver on that intro, but yes, I guess that's great. I love it.
Yeah. rolling with it.
Also has actor,
a,
it's great.
Yeah, also has a podcast called Doughboys where they talk about commercial restaurants, right? Like food chains?
Yeah, fast food restaurants, chain restaurants. Yeah, me and this other guy, Nick Weiger, who's a really funny comedian that I met in the comedy scene out in L.A., we both love fast food and chain restaurants, so we eat at a chain restaurant every week, which is, you know, it's a good excuse to eat terrible fast food and
absolutely
shitty food that I'm gonna eat anyway. So it's a good excuse to do that and talk about it every week.
I'm looking forward to getting into a couple food chains that I love and also a couple I absolutely hate. so you've also appeared on like big shows like Parks and Rec, Comedy Bang Bang, The League, and I saw The Simpsons too on the credits. I was actually watching Love today, getting ready for this interview a little bit, and yeah, that's quite the resume.
Oh, thank you so much. I worked at The Simpsons as an assistant to the writers back in the day. That was one of my early jobs, and I kept it for about almost 4 years. So when I first got out there, I had kind of like some smaller crappy jobs. I worked as a page at CBS, and then I worked on this show Shark with James Woods, and then after that I worked on the Simpsons, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. I mean, what was that like? I mean, did it like really hit you? Like, it was one of your early jobs. Like, I work for the damn Simpsons. Like, this is crazy. Because that's one of the biggest ones out there.
For sure. Yeah, it's funny because being like an assistant to the writers or a writer's PA, it was awesome, but then at the same time, like, you are like you're the bottom of the totem pole. You're basically kind of like the lowest rung in the ladder. That's probably the better way to say that. And you have to go get lunches, and you know what I mean. Like,
it's coffee.
Not, yeah, it's, I feel it's not a glamorous job by any means, but it was a good way to kind of see how that world works, you know, and that's an institution like no other, really, because it's been on the air longer than basically every show on TV or any sitcom on TV. So it was cool to work there. And yeah, the first table read, getting to sit in for like the first time I sat in for a table read and seeing all the voice actors do their thing, that really blew my mind. And Milhouse still calls and texts me every so often. Pamela. Oh, Pamela Aiden.
Yeah, that's awesome. I heard Homer is a real asshole on set. Can you attest to that?
he gets upset if he doesn't have donut. I felt bad even just making this joke.
It's too easy.
Yeah, it's too easy. God. Actually Dan Castellaneta, the man behind Homer, is like the nicest guy on earth. He's so nice. But Homer himself would be an asshole. But Dan is one of the nicest people that you could ever meet. He's so funny and nice, and in table reads he would improvise stuff as Homer occasionally and just be like so funny. And it's just second nature for him at this point. You know, he's done it for, they've all done it for God, as almost as long as I've been alive. I was in first grade. I remember being like when I first fell in love with The Simpsons, kindergarten or first grade, and it's still on the air, which is insane.
Yeah, new episode like next Sunday, right?
I think so. Yeah,
like something like that. You know, good God,
I can't believe that when I worked there, it was that sort of thing. I'm like, oh man, this is like an old show. And. And like, you know, like in a lot of, and I don't think this is saying anything wrong, because I think a lot of the guys there even said this to me, but like, oh, it's not as cool to work at like kind of an older show like that. Like it's kind of past its heyday. And then I think back on like when that was, and that was in 2007, and like it's nearly doubled.
Yeah, right. Here we are.
it's nearly doubled. I mean, like not exactly, but it's gone on for 13 years since I first started working there, which is
wow,
so crazy. It's crazy.
Michael, we skipped the part where you're from Quincy and you made it to Hollywood. What part of Quincy are you from?
I'm from Quincy. I'm from Wollaston. I'm from I heard you guys talk about the West Quincy Burger King, and if you're talking about the one on Adams Street.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's like my old stomping grounds. That's 7-Eleven.
Beautiful. It's RBK. Yeah,
that Burger King and 7-Eleven and then that bank, the Bank of America parking lot. That's like where I hung out with all my friends, growing up. And you know, a bunch of my buddies worked at Curtis Farms and
that's a throwback.
Yeah, beautiful.
Now it's just another 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have problems with Milton kids over there?
Oh, when I say we would fight Milton kids all the time, it was just my friends. I was like cowardly and never. So like, guys, hey, Matt Duffy, we you know, guys like that, we would go at him, and he probably would, being a professional athlete, he probably would have kicked all of our asses. I usually just ran away. I remember there was like a big fight between Quincy and Milton kids. I didn't like literally run away, but I never was getting into fights. And I remember there was a big fight, and I've told this story before, but there was a big fight and the cops came, and I like got in a car, and I realized like 3 minutes in that I was in a car filled with Milton kids. Like I ran into the bad guy's car.
Shit.
Talk about an all-time backfire.
Yeah.
It was a huge, huge mistake. Luckily, my buddy Phil Dalton was in there. He's a Milton guy. Because I went to Thayer. I went to Thayer Academy for my freshman year. Oh, I was at Thayer. And I had been a Quincy public school kid my whole life. I went to Central Middle School, and I was a little bit of a fuck up, and my mom was a teacher at North Quincy High School, so, and that's where I always wanted to go. But she, my freshman year, they kind of wouldn't let me go there. They shipped me off to another place, and then I kind of straightened myself out, and then I went to North for my last 3 years of high school. So,
go Raiders!
I went to Quincy. Yeah, but
oh, did you really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Shit.
So yeah, little exchanges on Turkey Day, but
still at BK.
Oh well. You guys are, I mean, you guys won the better. I think I played football for 3 years when I was there. I played, well, actually 2 years, because I played my freshman year there, and then I played my sophomore and then senior years at North, and I was awful. I was an awful football player. Like, I mean, I just started playing when I was a freshman, and I was, when I was young, I was like a skinny kid, and then I just got fat and gross as time went on. But as a freshman, just being like a lineman, I was like a big guy, but also I feel like very weak. You know what I mean? Like I was just
one of those
weak linemen, and I did not know the sport that well. But I love football and I love watching it, and I enjoyed playing it. But I was not good at it at all. And when I was at North, our team was also bad. I think we won one game my senior year. I think that was it.
So, Michael, I'm actually a former football player from the Quincy Public School System myself. I was actually really good, not to brag.
Wow!
I love it.
And I'm
still working on the famous actor thing, just like you. So I'll eventually get there. But my question for you: all these shows you've been on are some of my favorite shows, and that's so awesome. But what's the Illuminati like?
You know, I'm trying to join.
They won't answer your call.
It's tough. It's tough being a Quincy guy. You can't get in that easy.
That's a shame.
It's great. That I mean, obviously, like, Hollywood is an insane place, and a lot of the things that people are critical about it are kind of true. There's a lot of terrible things about Hollywood, but I love performing. I love acting, and I started here in Quincy. I used to go to a theater camp. I remember so many of my friends were in basketball camp, which is another sport I love. I love basketball, and I never even was close to good at basketball. Like in football, like I was like, oh, I could maybe if I dedicated myself, I could have some sort of talent here. But basketball, I was just terrible at. Especially when I was making that transition to like kind of like a tall big guy. Now when I play, if I ever play like pickup games, I'm like, oh, I just like stand under the rim and try to get rebounds. I get my role now, but back then I didn't really have a role. Exactly. Oh shit, I lost my train of thought.
What made you go from Quincy all the way to LA, yes, Hollywood?
Oh, so back in the day, that's what I was saying, is that I would do theater camps. I was in this theater camp in Quincy called Raise the Curtain. And I remember being so embarrassed because I loved doing it, but I remember all my friends would be in basketball camp. And I was like, oh man, I'm here in theater camp and I kind of feel like a dork or whatever. But that's the thing in Quincy. I basically gave up acting when I went to high school because I sadly was afraid that, you know, to get made fun of, I guess, mm-hmm. is the Quincy way. And I definitely regret that. And then when I got to college, I went to Ithaca College in upstate New York. And, when I was there, I was like, I've always loved comedy. I loved watching Late Night with Conan O'Brien and The Simpsons and everything growing up. So, and SNL, of course. And when I got to Ithaca, I started to learn about, you know, like they have a film school and a communication school. And I was like, oh, like this is kind of cool. And in the area I kind of like, and I like to try to tell jokes and be funny. And like, can you actually do something like that? Because as a Quincy kid growing up, that never even crossed my mind that's something that you could do, or, you know what I mean? I thought you were like born into something like that. So Ithaca was helpful in being like, oh, you can, you know, you can kind of work on these things and study these things and become better at them. And there is a path to kind of doing stuff like that. So, cause I always just thought, you know, like stand up is a guy who's like very funny and goes out on stage and just is funny.
Yeah. Just
and
natural.
It's so much, yeah, just natural, and it's so much more work than that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the kind of route. So I transferred over into the film school. I was a cinema production major, and did screenwriting, and that was my end. I was like, oh, I'm gonna try to write, and then after a few years at Ithaca, I went off to LA to do just a summer program because I needed to finish up like one class, and then when I was out there, it was basically when I decided that I was going to stay. My dad talked to me and was like, why don't you give it a try or whatever? And I was like, sure. And then there I started to go around and look at different comedy places. And I landed at UCB, which is kind of a well-known theater in LA.
What's that? Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's right. Upright Citizens Brigade. Yep. Yeah. And then, no, at the time, when I first went out there, it was basically new in LA. It was one of the newer theaters, but it was the place where there was a lot of funny, you know, you could just go there and see so many funny people, and Nick Kroll and a bunch of funny people that were just performing there every night. And then that just kind of became my home, and I started doing shows there and improv and everything. And that's kind of how that was the road towards what I do now.
Oh, that's awesome. Nothing horrifies me more than like stand up comedy. I could literally never do that. Like just stare at those people, try to make them laugh.
The first time like, you just get respect. Crickets must be the yeah. worst feeling.
Oh my
in the world.
God, I'd be horrified. Yeah.
It is bad. Like it is awful when people don't laugh. But honestly, you get over that fear that like, and then you kind of. Once you've bombed bad enough a few times, like I'm not going to say that it doesn't hurt even now after I've done it for whatever, you know, 15 or so years or whatever, but you get past it. You get to a place where you're just like, oh, well, we're eating shit. Who cares? You know what I mean? And then afterwards you can laugh about it or just be like, that was a bad show, but you don't usually go beyond the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a thing that's worse is like now I'd say like auditioning is worse where you're going for an audition. You're like, ugh, that sucks. I hate that. And that kind of has a similar feel to bombing on stage. You can bomb in front of a nice little old lady in a room and be like, I want to jump off a bridge after you do it.
That was kind of my next question. So I'm a big Entourage guy. I don't know if you've seen the show Entourage.
I have seen the show Entourage,
okay.
Yes.
So the Johnny Drama, like, audition things, like, look, like, so terrifying. Just tell me, like, when you first walked into, like, an audition, like, what was the feeling like? Just a bunch of people looking at you, seeing what, like, what they're exactly looking for, and maybe you don't know that.
Yeah, no, that is terrifying. And I think you also get to a point in – when you're doing this stuff where that just doesn't bother you anymore either. Like, I can bomb at an audition and that stings more than like bombing on stage. Cause on stage, it's like, yeah, it's a job. Exactly. It's a potential for a job. But, and a lot of the times it is just in front of like a nice, like a, usually a nice little old lady, usually, like, you know, shouldn't be intimidating. But, you know, it's the power dynamic. And, yeah, there's sometimes where you're in there with, like a whole room of people. And then with auditioning, there's stuff. So, like, you'll audition, and then you'll get a call back. And then there's sometimes more people, and there's producers. And then sometimes if you know, like, if you've done well enough, they'll bring you in to test you. And that is, like, you it's a big, long process where, like, you read sometimes with, like, another actor on the show that's already in the show, and you'll read in front of, like, everyone involved with the show. So like producers and executives and like, you know, people like network people.
Have you ever walked in there? I'm sorry to cut you off, but have you ever walked in there and like you saw like Johnny coming out and be like, shit, he's good. Like, this is going to be tough.
Oh, 100%. I tested for a thing. And I don't know if you guys know John Daly. He's super funny.
Oh yeah.
A comedian. And I was like, oh man, Daly is like the funniest guy. They should just hire this guy. What is like, what's going on? You know what I mean? But neither of us got it, but it's that sort of thing of like, a lot of the time they don't even know what they're looking for. You know what I mean? And you're kind of creating something for them. Mm-hmm. But if you're there, they like you enough. You know what I mean? But you're going to get rejected. That is just the way it works. You get thick skin from it. You get rejected so many times over and over and over again, which, hey, I was used to anyways. as not the coolest Quincy guy, I've been rejected a billion times over, but you just kind of you go with it and you get thicker skin and it makes you better. You can deal with it better.
Sports analogy, you're like a pitcher. If you get rejected, you have a game where you get rocked, but then you just gotta get back up on the hill and knock it out of the park next time.
100%. Yeah. You just got to keep working on your stuff. You know what I mean? I think that's the thing is like some people give up on it and you just got to keep working at it. I know that I hope this doesn't sound like kind of like a douchey, like you just got to keep working, put your head down the ground. But it kind of is that in the way of like, you just keep at it. You can't let the failures bother you. You just got to keep working at it and trying to get better at it.
You can't take no for an answer. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you
baseball? Baseball, by the way, was my best sport, and when I got to North, I was in an international league. We won the championship. No big deal.
Nice. And,
big
nice.
Shout out to international league. Yeah.
International league. I loved international league. It's one of those things where I like grew into being the best player. I think when I was like 14, you know what I mean? When you're like the last guy sticking around and you're like turning into a man. And
hit the growth spurt already. It's going 400 feet. Like.
I loved it. I played my freshman year at Thayer too. And then we won the championship on a game-winning double that I hit, and we got to play at Adams Field. So I was listening to your last episode, and a lot of memories and a lot of regrets too, because I quit when I got to North. I didn't play my sophomore, junior, or senior year, and I was with you guys on the regretful side of not sticking around and playing more. But the sports analogy works. It does work. You got to just keep working at your craft, and you got to keep at it.
What do you think about like the difference between if you had to chase a dream in Boston compared to like LA or New York? How much more difficult do you think it would be or is for people that do it that way?
Man, that's a great question. I think that, you know, like in just saying these sort of things of like, you know, I quit acting for a stretch when I went to high school and I stopped playing baseball, but, and I think that there is like a lot of that in Quincy where you're like, what good is this thing? I'm not going to keep doing this in my life, or I'm not going to be a professional baseball player. I'm not going to be whatever. I'm not going to be a professional actor, but it's just that sort of thing for me. If you love it and you really in love it, you really enjoy doing it, that you should always just try to keep doing it. And, you know, and whatever way you do it, whether, you know, like, acting here in local theater or doing stand-up comedy or whatever, I would still want to do something like that if I lived back in Boston. I think the fact is that LA just has so many more opportunities, especially just, you know, when you're first starting out and you're trying to get an agent and trying to get seen and really trying to, like, you know, get into that scene and the comedy scene or the acting scene or the acting world, and that you kind of have to be there for that, you know what I mean? Like, not that you can't be a working actor in Boston too, because you definitely can. And there's a ton of stuff that they cast a ton of like local talent here, and they shoot films here all the time now, as you guys know. They're always filming something.
I was watching Equalizer 2 last night. Denzel Washington.
Yeah, usually pretty.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Hubie Halloween was out here. The movie.
Oh man.
They film so much stuff out here, so it's possible. Like, I think that it's possible in both in Boston and LA. I think that coming up and like trying to get steady work, probably easier in LA. I think that's the place to be. But, you know, who knows, like in the world of COVID, if that will be something that changes, if that's like a thing of, because, you know, like there's so many, you know, I put myself on tape for auditions before this, and then I've been home and I put myself on tape twice already, and like that it just kind of sucks, because like I'm reading the audition with my mom in like my kitchen or whatever, and so it can be like it can definitely be more awkward. Yeah. But you can also do it as many times as you want and try to get try to get it better and better, as you know what I mean. You control what you send out.
You knock it out of the park on that one take.
Yeah, absolutely,
like, oh,
nailed
yeah.
this one. It's like set.
Take 75. That's a beauty.
75 takes.
Yeah.
How's your agent treating you? Because I'm a manager as well. I graduated in entertainment management. In case, I don't know if his contract's coming towards the end, but. I got the same initials too as you too, M&M.
Are you saying you have a manager? I'm
a manager.
Oh, you are a manager. Are you really?
Semi.
I could. Enro, I think Enro, I graduated. On his way.
I graduated in entertainment management. I mean, I have the skills. I'm looking for clients.
My agents are pretty good. My managers are. You know, I don't know. They're always on notice. You know, someone could take over their jobs easy. So yeah, I got an eye out.
There we go.
I'll get
there
to
we
work.
Go.
I'll yeah. get to work. Like, I'm just going to make it happen. Manifest.
I actually have a lawyer, and some of my lawyer friends have been, actually more so like one of them really, is always pushed being like, I want to be your lawyer. And I'm like, no, you're not going to be my, there's no way on earth.
Yeah,
it's like that show, that new little Dickie
like
show.
Mally, yeah.
His friend tries to be his like manager or lawyer or something. I don't.
Oh yeah, like no, yeah. Works in Entourage, but yeah, not. I don't know if it works
yeah.
long at
oh
all.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I gotta ask. So was the Birthday Boys like your first kind of like big gig that you kind of looked around? And I know you it featured kind of Bob Odenkirk and Ben Stiller as exec producers. I mean, those are really household names. Like, how was that kind of going in? And with, am I right? Like, was that the coming out party?
Yeah, for sure. That was definitely like the you know, that was our dream and kind of our goal. So when I got to UCB, I started taking improv classes there. That's how I started. And there were a few guys from Ithaca, and there were two guys basically I knew, and this guy Mike Hanford was I was pretty friendly with in college. And I remember just like messaging when I first got out here, and then he actually moved out here after I did to LA. And I was like, I'm interested in comedy, and he was interested in comedy. And we were looking for places to go, and that's when we found UCB Theater. And then he was friends with a bunch of other Ithaca guys, and one of which I knew, Dave Ferguson. And with all those guys, we started a sketch group, and all those guys were in that. They were in that improv class that I was taking too. So we did all that together, and then we started doing sketches and putting the sketches up every Friday night. So like when I first moved out there and just first started doing comedy, like every single Friday night we would do an open mic sketch show, and the rest of the week, like, you know, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we would work on stuff and like write sketches and stuff like that. And so we would put up sketches every Friday night with these two guys that hosted the show, Neil Campbell and Paul Rust. And Paul is on Love, and Neil's a hilarious actor and writer. And Paul is like one of the funniest people on earth. They both are. They're both the two funniest guys.
Is Paul Rust the star, like the main
yeah.
guy? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Paul's the main guy in Love.
The I Love You Beth Cooper guy.
Yeah, I love you Beth Cooper. He's so funny. He's such a funny dude. And They took us under their wing a little bit. They directed a show that we did, and we just kept doing stuff with them for a long time. And then we eventually had a monthly show at the theater at UCB, and so we would do a new sketch show every single month, all new material and stuff like that. And the goal was to always try to get some sort of sketch show, and so that's eventually it did happen. And so that was like. You know, like I remember that moment when we found out we were getting a pilot when we were backstage at UCB when our managers told us, and it was like, you know, one of the best moments of my life.
Wow.
But it ruled. And
that's surreal.
Yeah, no, we were super excited. And there's like some people who go to SNL through UCB, and we like the Good Neighbor guys who are, you know, Kyle Mooney and Beck Bennett, those guys who are on SNL now. There are people around there who went to SNL, and we had always wanted to do our own show and try to get a show. And Bob came in and basically made that happen. His wife, Naomi, is a manager in LA.
You're talking about Bob Odenkirk, right?
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk. Sorry. Yeah. So, Bob. Yep. Yeah. His wife is a manager in LA, and she does this show. Every, I think it's New Year's Day, called the Not Inappropriate Show. And this woman that worked with her, Brooke, Brooke was interested in me because she's a manager. She was interested in signing me early on when I didn't have any representation. And she had Naomi come out and watch my sketch group. And Naomi eventually asked us to do this show on New Year's Day, which was a show basically for kids and adults. It's like stuff that people could, like, you know, kids and adults could join.
Yeah, it's a large audience.
Sorry, could enjoy. Yeah. And so she had us come and do that, and then Bob was there. I actually wasn't there. I'm always, for New Year's, I'm always in Quincy, Mass. I always come back.
Nice.
And hang with the Quincy boys for New Year's. But Bob came, and he watched the show and was complimentary and said something about said something about our sketch to Tim Kalpakis. And then Tim started meet with him, and they started to like work on some stuff together. And then Bob was like, "Hey, we should like try to pitch a show with your entire group." And then that's how that happened. We met with a bunch of places, and we pitched to HBO and a bunch of other places. And then IFC basically came down to IFC, and they bought the show, which was a huge relief and also one of the best moments of my life, like I said. But I think the thing at the time that I didn't know is just like, you know, like there would soon be like, this was right around the time when there was just so much TV, and the only downside to it all, like looking back, is just that I wish more people had seen the show, and I wish we had more money, because it just, like, you know, it was a super low budget show, but we got to do what we like loved to do, and made a pretty good version of that. So we were happy.
Yeah, you know? Got to live your dream.
Yeah,
and
had fun doing it. Right?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah,
that's a goal.
Yeah, especially yeah. I mean, with those names too. With just so, how did Stiller get involved? I saw his name, and that was like really interesting to me.
Yes. Yeah, so Stiller. So that's how Bob came on, and he was like one of the executive producers, and he was in the show too and everything. And
yep.
And then Ben Stiller, he has a production company, Red Hour, and this guy Mike Rosenstein, who's one of the producers at his production company, he wanted to work with us to try to sell the show, and he did. And so he was working with us and helping us pitch the show all over town. And he works at Ben's company, so it was basically Ben's company that helped us sell the show. You know, it was under their roof. They were the producers.
Oh wow, that's
and so yeah. So Ben like
that's Ben, awesome.
Ben, you know, like he came. He was in the show because he's cool like that, and he did the show for us and was a guest on it. But and then he also hung out with us one day. He came to a party at the birthday boy's house, because the birthday boys had like a kind of shitty house.
It's
North
like a
Hollywood.
Workaholics type of house.
Basically, yes. It was like where I think like four, how many guys lived there? One, two, three, four, five of the guys lived there. And there were seven of us total. So five guys lived in that shitty house. And Ben Stiller came to like, we threw like a huge, huge party because they were moving out of the house. And so we threw like this gigantic party at the house, and just like the backyard was filled, and Ben Stiller came to that party and like looked down at the backyard and was like, all right, I've seen enough. And he left like 5 minutes later.
He entered.
Wasn't big enough for him.
Yeah.
You partied with Ben Stiller. That's all you got to say about that story.
It was very cool of him to swing by. He was awesome for us. He was nothing but the best to us. So, very much enjoyed my short time with Ben Stiller, and Jack Black was also on the show. And Jack Black is the man.
Unreal.
I just remember his role in Tropic Thunder. It was like that was like the funniest character I've ever seen.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's freaking out and on drugs and shit. Yeah,
he's so funny and so nice. That guy, he rules. He's an awesome dude.
Tenacious D, elite movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Good call.
One of the goats.
So from there, you just started, and that's when you start rolling into these other big shows, Parks and Rec, and Parks and Rec a few times, right?
Yeah, Parks and Rec. I think the first time I was on Parks and Rec was before, I think it was maybe in 2010. So it might have been before, I think it was definitely before the Birthday Boy show. But like, you know, I was going out for, I was auditioning for stuff like around, you know, like, starting in like 2008, 9, and 10, like basically once we first got managers, I started, you know, started auditioning for stuff. Mm-hmm. And Parks and Rec was one of like my first roles, and that was just to think about, because I was like so nervous going in for it, but it was just a simple, you know what I mean? It was just a simple couple of lines in the show, asking Chris Pratt if he wanted to buy gum, and then
I'd be intimidated.
Oh yeah, no, just even like, and my buddy Harris Whittles, he worked at Parks and Rec as a writer. He's passed away since Harris has. He was like the funniest dude on earth. It bums me out that he's gone. He's so funny, and he was one of my best friends out there. Him and this other guy, Armin Weitzman, and all the Birthday Boys, like my brothers, but Armin and Harris were my two guys, and he was a writer at Parks and Rec, and you know, all the Birthday Boys auditions, like I think like three or four of us auditioned for this part. And I remember he said that when he was watching the tape, he told Mike Schur, he was like, that dude's from Boston. He's a big Red Sox fan. And I think that would maybe had a, had a part in me getting cast because Mike Schur is a huge Red Sox fan, and then Mike Schur named my character Bjorn Lurpis, and which is just an
that's
insane.
Interesting.
You know what? It's cool because he gives so like a lot of times when you have a couple lines on the show, if you're a guest star, you'll have like a name like Man Number Three or whatever. And or like in my case, it will be like chubby bearded man. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the roles that you're getting. And Mike Schur did a fun thing where he would name every character no matter kind of the size of the role. So it's helpful when people are scrolling through your IMDb and they see Bjorn Lurpis.
Yeah,
they think that it's a little better than like fat guy at pool or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
if you ever definitely. Got that on the street, if like being like, "Yo, it's Bjorn," like that would be.
I bet it's happened. People have people have definitely not like a ton, but people have been like, "Oh, I've seen you on Parks and Rec before." I've definitely got that. I did it like 5 or 6 times, and Harris would always give me a heads up that he'd send me a text and be like, "Just a heads up," but. Bjorn Lurpis is in the script right now. Don't know if he's going to stick around, but he's in there right now, and I was all excited.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, because, you know, it meant work for me, and then there was, like, you know, there was one episode where it was, like, a little bit more substantial than the other ones, and that felt good to, like, oh, I, like, got to do this thing on TV, and it was, like, pretty, you know, it came out pretty funny, and it felt, you know, felt pretty good. But
felt truly Harris, a part of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and Harris is—I mean, he was just the funniest guy, and he was a supporter of me, and he was the best. Harris Whittles, look him up if you've
definitely
if you've never heard of him. He's dude, one of the Absolutely. Best.
I gotta ask. So we talked about it like in your introduction, but the Doughboys obviously really funny with the chain restaurants. So I'll give you a go right now. Top three top chain restaurants around.
Wow. Okay. Top three. So am I going like New England, or are we going like nationwide?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Well,
I listened to 3 episodes recently. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
It gets
it's
you
crazy.
In the mood to just eat at chain restaurants. Majorly.
It's even, also
even 7-Eleven's like, you guys make it sound like it's a fucking good meal somehow.
We're revisiting 7-Eleven. Actually, on next week's episode, we're doing chain restaurants that are open 24 hours. And October is always a theme month, so that's the theme for this month is restaurants that are open 24/7. But, I mean, I love that. You know, growing up, I love that 7-Eleven, love that Burger King for real. And you know, we've talked about Burger King dipping in quality, but we've also recently been talking about how Burger King's getting good again. That's kind of, we're saying Burger King's back. So we've been saying Burger King's back for a while.
Our producer has been saying that as well. So
I've always loved a Whopper, and so like I'm telling you, they're getting better. They're like, if you got to seek out the good Burger Kings, because we all know that there's like
there's some really bad. The one on Granite Ave in particular in Quincy, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, if I'm there, I'm going to Nick's Pizza across the street.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, big shout out.
Yeah.
Nick's Pizza. I've had a Greek their Greek salad is fantastic. If you've never had it, I wouldn't add any meat to it, but just the straight up Greek salad is so good, and the pizza's great, and they got some good subs in there. Nick's Pizza, I love that guy's still going at it. The old Greek man Nick, he's still
cash
going
only,
at it.
Cash only.
I love that. That's how you know it's good. That's like I love Ice Cream Parlor, which is on Beale Street, which used to be Brigham's. Now it's just called Ice Cream Parlor, and it's like the only place where you can go and get my boy Dieter runs it.
Dieter is still there.
His dad ran it before him. But Dieter's he's a good guy, big German guy. But that's like the only place to me, and also of course Dairy Freeze, but the place to get like
the goat.
Raspberry lime Rickies and mocha fraps. Ice Cream Parlor is just that's like maybe my favorite spot in Quincy besides Fat Cat. My godfather.
I love it. Let's go.
Have you been to the new location?
My,
godf-
My godfather's son owns Fat Cat, so I gotta get that out of the way. I gotta let everyone know that. Yeah, so, I gotta let everyone. But that being said, I still love Fat Cat.
Love it.
There's some good food in the Quincy scene. But as far as my favorite chain restaurants, I mean, my number one probably. All right, I'll give you my big three, and I go back and forth on this all the time, but Wendy's is maybe just my number. I love Wendy's.
I was going to have that. Like, the way I was going to explain it before I let you go is, like, Wendy's is the bar. Anything better is great. Anything worse is just, like, average. Like, Chick-fil-A is, like, kind of new around here. I've obviously had it, like, when I've been down south. Obviously, the chicken sandwich is a little bit better than Wendy's. But everything else from Chick-fil-A, like... Wendy's all day.
Yeah, Adam has right here. It says Wendy's is just always number one, right? In the notes, so.
You're right. I mean, I think spicy chicken sandwich. Wendy's, I think they have to go back to their. I think they got to go back to their old fries. I don't love the potato skin fries as much. Sea salt. But yeah, they just don't work as well, but. The spicy chicken sandwich and the burgers are still hot.
It's prime time.
Oh man, just they're underrated as far as burgers go.
They have a great
and if we're gonna talk about like Quincy geographically, there's a huge rivalry going on. So in Southern Ottery, they put Popeyes next to Wendy's, and now everyone thinks that like, oh, Wendy's is gonna go out of town, and like you see all these lines of Popeyes, that's gonna go away. Wendy's will conquer and will win. I guarantee that Wendy's is still there.
Wendy's has never had cops working the detour for their establishment. Popeyes has in its debut week, so you got to give Popeyes some clout.
People
right
like
there.
Shiny and new. It'll die out.
Yep.
You know what? But also, there's room for both. You know what I mean?
Big fan of both.
There's room for both. They're, like, to me, also, Popeyes just has really good fried chicken, so I enjoy Popeyes. I'm a convert on it because, you know, like growing up, we didn't have any around. I think when I was like driving up to Maine was the first time I ever had Popeyes and it made me sick. And so like I never was like a huge Popeyes fan. And then in California, I've eaten it more and I'm like, oh, Popeyes is fucking good. but I'm a Wendy's. I'm a Wendy's devotee. I love
ride
Wendy's.
Die.
That's ride or die. After that, I love Taco Bell. I'm a huge Taco Bell fan. I think Taco Bell is like one of the best restaurants on earth.
I'm on the other side there.
Not
a fan.
I read on the internet because you know that's the source of all truth. Taco Bell, I think, is technically one of the more healthier fast food chains.
Yeah.
So you kind of have a bit more guilt-free.
If you go out and try to eat fast food and be healthy, you're just lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
That 25, 89 cents fucking burritos was not healthy.
I can tell you from 5 years of doing this shit that you're right. But, you know, there's some stuff like if you do like a Chipotle like burrito bowl, that usually feels better than, you know, like something, you know, anything else usually, or like some shitty, like, oh god, Subway sucks. But I'm a D'Angelo's man. If you want to talk about
D'Angelo's, good.
Chains,
love that.
I love D'Angelo's. I wish that there was like Pupagino's and D'Angelo's on the West Coast. I would, because Pupagino's just even for you know like for chain pizza is so much better than so much California pizza. I would love to have it. But to round out my big three, just want to give a shout out to the local spots. But to close out my big three, it's gonna be. The last one is just the king of them all is McDonald's. I think McDonald's is like, I mean, I know that's the easy answer, but
it is the king at the same time.
But
like.
But a Big Mac and when McDonald's fries are good, there's no fries better than McDonald's fries when they're like nice and hot.
Yeah, you're right.
Right out of the bag. Right out of the bag.
Dude,
fuck
McDonald's. right out of the bag. You're eating them on the way home. McDonald's.
That's a
McDonald's
fact.
Is awesome. I get having a bad version of it. Like I know that like a lot of people will balk at us saying McDonald's, but McDonald's, Wendy's, and Taco Bell is that's my triforce right there. That's
McDonald's has been rocking with. They had the Travis Scott meal recently, and then they had another artist, J Balvin. What is the Michael Mitchell meal if they had one?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a great question.
Good question.
See, this is the thing is that my meal would just be like. A number one large with a Coke, which is the Big Mac meal with a Coke, and then probably like and then probably like another burger, and then like maybe some spicy nuggets, like something
yeah,
like that.
Fuck around, yeah.
But that, yeah, that's like, it's that sort of thing of like I. Those meals are all funny to me because I'm like, why is this a meal? Like, don't you need to do something a little bit more to make it like a meal? You know what I mean? Like, it can't like it. Like the Travis Scott meal, you're just adding bacon to a quarter pounder. I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah, it's literally a quarter pounder with a Sprite. Like, that's literally what
you
it is.
You don't even get a Travis yeah. Scott action figure. There's nothing to it.
They should be. They should be an action figure. You're right. You're onto something.
Cactus Jack sent you. It's like, no, what?
It's gonna be. Yeah, you gotta up it. What are your guys' favorite fast food chains? Just so I wanna hear what you guys think.
I mean, like Wendy's, obviously the top. You know, I'm big on Chipotle, but you know what? I gotta ask this question. I've been waiting to ask this question for like week and a half. What do you think of Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John? Uh-oh. Am I going to upset you here when I
kind of hope you do. Be good content.
I don't. I think Jimmy John sucks.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
We're all on board.
They
don't even have a
That place sucks.
They don't even have a toaster.
He's wearing a Jimmy John shirt. I didn't know why he was, but now it makes sense.
So I was a delivery driver there like during my time in college for like 3 months. I get there the first day that like getting ready to pack everything up to go deliver, and I'm like, where's the toaster? It's like, we don't toast like sandwiches. We just bake bread and have it come out. I was just like, are you shitting me? I said to the guy, are you shitting me? And then like 2 weeks later, the franchise guy, this is in South Braintree, it's not there anymore, but he goes to me, he's like, I could have came up with any taking any franchise here, any sub shop, and I decided Jimmy John's. I thought that was a great idea. I'm like, really? You thought that was a great idea? It was out of business 2 months after I left.
Real quick.
So I'd say once your top delivery driver leaves, like all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that sort of thing of like, I'm going to D'Angelo's 1,000 times out of 1,000 over Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no matter what. I mean, like, and then also like you just got a lot of good local sub shops around here. Like, I'm never gonna want Jimmy John's. Also, I'll tell you guys this: the owners of Jimmy John's are supposedly like kind of assholes.
So,
like,
yeah, they're supposed to suck.
They fly to like Africa and like pose with like giraffes with broken necks and stuff. They're just an absolute. They're the worst types of people you just want to beat up.
Yeah, they're like trophy hunter, big game pieces of shit. Like, oh, good job that you killed a fucking lion that someone set up for you to kill. Don't kill a lion anyways, you fucking asshole. Yeah. You know
it's
what I mean?
Sick when, like, the lion gets those people. Like, you see those stories. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
My bottom line with the Jimmy John's thing is, like, they only have cold cuts and, like, tuna. Like, go to your local supermarket and get that stuff. Do not go to Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy John's is awful. You know what? I'm nicer to – I like – I'm okay with – Jersey Mike's. I think Jersey Mike's is pretty good.
Okay.
Overpriced, but pretty good. I agree.
I got to give a test to it because I just can't do these commercial subs anymore till like – it sounds a lot like Jimmy John's, but they actually have a toaster.
I definitely have those two like grouped together. Like Jimmy John's is like why I haven't been to Jersey Mike's.
Oh, yeah. I get it. But if you get like – if you try the Jersey Mike's Italian and load it up with toppings and stuff, and if you double up the meat, I think you're going to like it.
It's okay. Legit.
But also, you know, when I'm here, I'm all about eating local food. I've had Ice Cream Parlor, I've had Fowler House. I'm eating at all these local places. I'm trying to eat. Fowler House has amazing bar pizza, and there's no bar pizza on the West Coast. That just doesn't exist.
Wow.
Yeah. What an awesome place.
You don't even know what you got till it's gone. You know what I mean? Like that alumni style pizza is just. It rules, and there's you can't find that in LA, and so I've been trying it whenever I have to eat terribly for this show once a week, and so besides that I don't usually get to do much more. But when I am, I'm doing some local Quincy place. I've yet to hit up D'Angelo's and a few other places, but
you should let us come with you on that review. That would be electric.
Hell yeah, yeah, I love it.
Also, what's your thoughts on Friendly's? Would you shit on Friendly's? Have you reviewed them yet? I love Friendly's.
We reviewed it, and I'm glad that you said that you love it because don't worry, I wasn't gonna give it shit anyways. I'm a Friendly's fan myself. Who didn't have the
it's a Wallace Sunday classic.
Oh god, it's such a bummer that it bums me out so bad that one was taken away. the one by the Dunkin' Donuts there on Hancock.
I got Uber Eats from like the Weymouth one the other night. It was like the honey barbecue, like classic.
Honey barbecue, like wrap.
Yeah, no, like Sangi. It was great.
Oh yeah,
just tremendous.
It was great.
Stuff.
Oh, that's good to hear. I love it. I'm gonna have to do some friendlies when I'm home too. I love it. I miss East Coast food so much. East Coast Chinese food. I mean, there's great Chinese food and great Asian food on the West Coast, but there's something to, like, you know, there's something to some eating crab rangoon at Cathay Pacific and having a Mai Tai.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Bless Massachusetts.
but yeah, no, I'm definitely I had half a Nick's Greek salad tonight, and
Nick, so you're gonna have to pay us for the sponsorship you're getting.
I know it's fucked up. Sorry that I'm talking about food. I know that I do this on my podcast anyways, but
no, I like it.
It's addicting, honestly. That's why I banged out 3 episodes in the past 2 days. Yeah. I was like, I could listen to this all day long.
Yeah. Michael, I'll give you a sports type question. It's also kind of an improv. Like, you got to also do some casting here. So. Let's say I'm a billionaire director and I cast you as my star of my sports movie, basketball movie, and you're the point guard. But now I'm leaving it up to you. You have to name – it could be any 4 actors or actual basketball players or celebrities. But who is the rest of your team? You got 4 spots. You're starring in a movie. Who are your four who's your shooting guard? Who's your small forward? Who's your power forward? Who's your center?
Wow, this is a great question.
Improv. Let's see it.
I mean, like, you know who I'm gonna want. Am I bringing in actors or athletes?
You could bring, like, Michael Jordan is a classic example of a guy who could do both. So if you want MJ, you can have MJ, but you
just don't say LeBron.
Well, he's actually a good actor, but.
Maybe can I make LeBron the villain? I want to make LeBron the villain.
Love that. That's great.
But I also don't want to put him in the movie, so I feel like I can't
love
do that
better.
Don't give him the check.
All right, let's see here.
4 teammates.
All right, 4 teammates. I'm going to go with Garnett, because he did a great job in Uncut Gems.
Love that.
So Garnett's on there.
And there's intensity.
I love Paul Pierce, but I just don't know how. Pierce is like one of my favorite Celtics of all time. I just don't know how he's going to translate as an actor. You know what I mean?
He's pretty good on the talk show, so he might have some acting chops.
I'll start with the bench. Like, how about like Zac Efron as a backup point guard, just trying to take your job?
All right, yeah. we get some. You know what? I like Robert Pattinson is a good. He chooses good movies. I like Pattinson. So let's have him be on the bench.
Good vision.
Okay.
Pattinson, you know what he's doing? He's dyeing his hair red. He's playing Brian Scalabrine. It's going to be the story of the 2000. It's the 2008 Boston Celtics championship team, 2007-2008.
Okay. Oh, so you're doing like a biopic. Okay.
We're doing a biopic. Robert Pattinson's playing Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba. And then maybe Scalabrine can play like Tom Hines in a weird he wears makeup and he plays kind of an old, like, he plays Tom Hines during the time at the period specific Tommy Hines.
All he'd have to do is like scream.
Yeah. Just be biased. Yeah. Just shit on the refs. Yeah.
They're screwing us.
So we get the actual Scalabrine in there too. And then Pierce. And then, man, I want Bird in here somehow though. Right. But
oh yeah.
I don't think Bird fits in. Should we just have Larry Bird be on the team? Should it be like a fictional account of 2008?
Who would play a good Larry Bird?
No, Bird himself. And I've seen his acting, and he shouldn't be in this movie, but I want him to be in it big time. So Larry Bird, all right, Paul. So we got Kevin Garnett, Larry Bird, Paul Pierce,
Robert Pattinson
on the bench. I can see
him. Yeah, Rob Pattinson on the bench.
Nice quirky three-point shooter. You know, I can see it.
And then who? So then we need. Who do I need? Do I need a?
So I think Christian Bale plays the role of Brad Stevens. Because he can kind of do anything. Yeah.
No, whatever. Yeah,
Mr. Exactly. Rogers, rest his soul, should play Brad Stevens.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. God, I wanted to like. Shake Brad Stevens and make him get fired up during this Celtics playoff exit. He was driving me nuts.
Oh yeah.
But you know, whatever. What can we do? What do I need? I got Pierce, Garnett. Well, I mean, so hold on. I feel like I should go with an actor.
Yeah, just
that can play Rondo, basically, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with
Christopher Walken.
I was gonna say Chris Tucker, but
yeah. Bill Murray.
Oh, Ray John Rondo. I play for the Celtics.
These are you know who it will be. Michael B. Jordan. That's Rondo.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Rondo.
Oh, box office.
Choice. Yeah,
this is a smash. Robert Pattinson, Michael B. Jordan. This is it's gonna be a good movie.
That's a hell of a combo.
Yeah,
it's basically Tenet. It's basically Tenet, kinda.
And who am I? Am I like Chris Mim or something?
Yeah,
Chris Mim.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't heard that.
I'm trying to think of who I could play in this movie. I get there's I don't know if there's yeah, I don't know.
It's gonna be a role we're gonna pay you more to like cut down.
Oh, Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge.
Oh yes, I'm Danny Ainge. There we go.
You're making the team. I love it.
Perfect. I love it. I'm Danny Ainge. Guys,
we're gonna make so much money off this movie.
I love this. Real. We get to write in this.
Did I take this question too seriously?
No, not one bit. Love it. No.
Thank you for answering.
Of course. That's a dream role right there, playing Danny Ainge.
Another question I wanted was so I'm sitting there watching football on a Sunday or whatever, and I think you know with a question coming, but Progressive commercial comes on. So all of a sudden I see you on there. So what's that like? All of a sudden you're watching Tom Brady and then you.
That's been awesome because I did a video with Tom Brady himself. I don't know if you guys knew this, but I did a video with Brady. Like, God, a decade ago or something.
Was it the Dick's Sporting Goods one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Dick's
Sporting Goods one, yeah. And so I did, like, a behind-the-scenes video with him during that Dick's Sporting Goods one. Also, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to Delonte because we brought up Delonte, and I wish Delonte well. I hope he gets better.
I
hope for the best.
I love Delonte West when he was with us, it's sad to see. You know what I mean? Feels like someone should be able to help him out. But I saw another video recently, but I hope that guy I hope he gets some help. But shit, now I lost track again.
The Progressive commercials.
Oh yes, the Progressive commercials. It was awesome. You know, it's funny that sort of thing of like doing something like that, like I've done like TV and a couple movies and that it's almost like that sort of thing. When I did the Tom Brady behind the scenes thing, that was like the biggest thing I ever did. And then I had this one thing on Jimmy Kimmel, and that was like felt like a huge thing. So it's always like these kind of things that you're like, oh, this isn't exciting to me, but then back home this is like the biggest thing to everyone back home. And the Progressive commercials definitely feel that way, and I get it because you know it's that sort of thing of like people are tuning in to watch some football, and they see you on the screen after, yeah, exactly, after like Brady throws a touchdown. So that's been really cool, and it was fun to shoot those. It was with the director of Napoleon Dynamite who shot those. Oh, wow. those commercials.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and so
there's multiple commercials.
There's like three.
Yeah, there's three that are out so far, and then there's three that are like on TV, and then there's one that's a behind the scenes thing that's on like just YouTube. But there will be a fourth one at some point.
I personally love the one he asks you if you use the shampoo.
Oh yeah,
they're very funny commercials. And once I found out that you were the guy in it, I was like, oh wow! I immediately knew. I love that commercial.
Yeah. No, the idea of it is really funny. I'm just a prop in it, basically. But
have you met Flo?
Yeah,
I have not met. You know, I have met Flo before, just not during filming these. But I met Flo. She's actually she's one of the she's a client of Bob's wife. And I met her when I was filming some with Bob and David, which was their kind of sequel to Mr. Show that they did on Netflix. So
if you meet Flo, can you let her know that James Askins has a huge crush on her? Also, if you meet the AT&T girl from those commercials, also know that tell her I'm in love with her, please.
I know the AT&T girl. Oh,
this is gonna be a good clip for James to make.
Oh my goodness, Michael!
I think she's maybe engaged. Sorry.
If I could even just see her in real life, I think my life would be complete. So if there's any way you can make that happen or try to make it happen, I'm forever in debt to you. Anything you ever need. Right.
Some Make-A-Wish campaign.
I'll try to work my magic. I'll see what I can
do. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
So my last question of the night was going to be, so I was reading up on it. So you have an important role in the new film, The Tomorrow War. I know it's led by Chris Pratt, but it was supposed to be out this year, and it got moved back because of COVID. Can you just talk about that and, you know, really exciting stuff?
Oh, for sure. Last year I auditioned for that basically right before I recorded a Doughboys episode. It was like a Tuesday. And I went in an audition for that. And when I first got it, I was like, I'm never going to get this part. And I was kind of, acting out there is, it's tough. It's a tough game. You know what I mean? And I was like thinking about moving more into writing and stuff. And I had met with a friend about possibly writing, on a show. And I had met with him that weekend and was going to try to get on the show in New York and get closer to Massachusetts. And then I talked to him and was going to submit this packet. And then I auditioned for this on the Tuesday after that. I was in my mind mentally, I was trying to get out of the acting game a little bit, just cause it's just ruthless. It's toughest. It's
tough. The grind. Yeah.
It's tough. Show business is rough. You know what I mean? So, and you can work a little bit more steadily with writing and so I auditioned for that on Tuesday and I almost didn't do it because I was like, there's no way that I'm gonna get this. This just doesn't feel like a role that I will get. And Chris Pratt, it's like a big action movie with Chris Pratt, like $170 million movie or something. You know what I mean? Like, wow. A giant movie.
Yeah.
And so I went in and that day, and it went great, and the casting director was so nice, and I left being like, whoa, that was great. You know what I mean? It's not that feeling is kind of few and far between. Yeah. No, just that sort of thing of even being like, oh, I really enjoyed myself and had a good time, you know? So, I walked out of there feeling good. And, that same day, just a few hours later, I got a call from my manager being like, hey, they're talking about flying you to Atlanta on Saturday. So this is Tuesday for boot camp. And I was like, what? Holy shit. This is crazy. And, we were in the middle of with Doughboys. We were in the middle of preparing, a tour. We were doing what we were calling the Feast Coast tour, the East Coast tour. And it was Washington and Philly and New York City and then Boston was the last stop. We played at the Wilbur for two nights. And we reviewed Pizzeria Regina, by the way, and the 99 were the two restaurants that we did, because Regina and the North End is the best pizza.
Oh, yeah. Two beautiful places. And then you got tips and tenders at 99.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But you know that I went to Sally's a pizza in New Haven just recently. And Frank Pepe's, which is ranked the number one in the world or the number one in the country, at least all the time, number one pizzas. And Regina's the best. Regina is still my favorite pizza. I Regina is so, so, so good. The cheese pizza from there. And pepperoni and onion, well done. That's what those are my two go-to.
Oh, it's beautiful. Dude, pure Italian.
Oh, I love it. But so that we were doing that tour, and we had to cancel a couple dates because I flew down that Saturday, and I did some basic training just for like some basically just to be able to kind of move in formation and shoot a gun. You know, we shot assault rifles blanks, but we shot real deal guns.
Yeah.
real deal guns. It was wild stuff. And so we had training for about a week, and then right after that I went to Washington. I got myself a massage because I was sore as hell from doing it all week, and then did Philly, New York, and Boston, and then had just like a couple days back in LA to kind of get myself ready, and then I went back right back down and filmed basically for the rest of the year, September, October, November, and December, pretty much.
Wow.
We filmed down there, and then there was one day in January. But it was awesome, man. It was so crazy, like huge sets. And then this guy Theo Vaughn, who's a stand up, he was in the movie, and then he had to drop out for some reasons, I think work reasons. And so that was eventually the part that I got was the part that he had, not the part that I auditioned for.
Oh wow!
I moved into the role that he had eventually, but it was such a crazy time. Sam Richardson is one of the coolest dudes on earth, and Mary Lynn Rice Cub is awesome, and my friend Jen D'Angelo was the on-set writer, and she rules, and Pratt is a great guy, super nice dude. And just filmed that for like 4 months almost, and saw some wild stuff, and it was just such a blast. I was so happy to do it. I was sad that it got pushed back because of COVID, but you know, like I'm honestly happy that I got pushed back because I wanted to release in theaters.
Yeah, and right. Instead of like a Netflix deal, or something like that. Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I wanted to be in the movie, so I'm in the theaters, and so I'm hoping that. And you know, I'm hoping that there's a premiere and stuff like that. But
yeah, is there a release date right now? Or
yeah, you know, it's the same like production company that is doing Top Gun, and it's like that do all of Skydance, that does all of Cruise's movies. So I think that you know they're not releasing those two around the same time, and that got pushed to July. It was supposed to come out this December, and it got pushed back again to July. So that's a full year. And so I don't know what's going to happen with us. We're scheduled for July 2, just later in July. I think July 23rd. But I don't know if we'll stay there or if they're going to push us back to December. So it'll actually be a full year delayed. I can't tell. I don't know. But to me, I don't mind it getting pushed back so long as it still gets released. You know what I mean? Like it would have been coming. This year sucks for everybody, and I can't cry too much, you know what I mean? But it would be coming out. Like it sucks that there would have already been a trailer and there'd be commercials for it right around
yeah.
now, you know what I mean?
It's just another thing that COVID's is screwing.
I know, dude. I know. It's
sounds like a good movie.
Out.
Yeah, I mean we'll definitely get the war.
We'll definitely get the tickets in the popcorn.
Listeners, get ready for war because this is gonna be a good one.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I'm excited. It's a big action sci-fi movie. And there's some big scary aliens in it. Yeah, dude, I'm pumped. I hope people like it.
That's great. That's awesome. Hey, Michael, want to give a big appreciation for you coming on and taking the time to talk to us, a bunch of knuckleheads.
Oh, dude, you guys, thanks so much. It was great talking to you guys. And hopefully, I don't know how long I'm going to be around here for, but. If I'm here for a while, let's do it again and eat some bar pizza in person.
Oh, yeah, we'll get some improv sessions going.
All in on
that. I love it.
Nice D'Angelo's review. I'm ready.
Hell yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Yep. Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
The AT&T girl. So another great interview with Michael Mitchell. I mean, The Tomorrow War is going to be out 2021. I'm looking forward to that. He's playing, set to play Dan Holtz. Not sure who that is, but looking forward to it. The lead of Chris Pratt. If you haven't tuned into his podcast yet, Doughboys, where they talk about chain restaurants, loved it.
Yeah.
It's a great lunchtime podcast. Right before you're starving, it just gets you, I think, that little more eager to eat the fuck out of some food. It's a good podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Wendy's, quality stuff. Oh, great action.
Sure. I think I could be great friends with Michael Mitchell, and the fact that he knows the AT&T girl, that's big news for me.
So, huge news.
Yeah.
Huge.
You might want
to... Game changer.
I'd be in his DMs often, like, try to make sure he knows who you are.
Where is she right now?
Yeah. What is she doing?
We've kind of leaned away from the sports tonight, but, you know, we're going to get back into it. NFL Week 6, Patriots return after a, I would call it, COVID bye week. Cam Newton has recovered from COVID. Patriots in 2-2 heading into the game against the Denver Broncos at home this week. Who do you like?
I love us first, the Broncos, with Cam, as long as they're back. I was a little like, because their defensive line and stuff, like if we had to throw Hoyer some shit out there, like I'd still be like, I don't know how many points we're going to score on those guys. But with Cam, I think that's fine.
I had an original bonehead of the week, but now I have two. So we're going to go back to the Kansas City game since we didn't really review that. Mm-hmm. Patriots played outstanding, all they could. But Brian Hoyer, bonehead of the week, belongs in a garbage can.
Oh, yeah, that guy's a stiff.
He shouldn't be on an NFL roster. It's ridiculous. And I'm not going to bring up the Tim Tebows or like Colin Kaepernicks either. And yeah, for the most part, this guy is a giant piece of shit who shouldn't even be in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. Fire him into the sun.
I think they played really promising against the Chiefs. You know, what was it, 6-3 going to half? Their defense looked better than anyone's than I've seen in that game specifically. You see a loss by the Chiefs the other day, so that makes them very vulnerable. But then they come back and get Le'Veon Bell this week. So I think the Patriots are exactly where they want to be, but they got to start winning these big games against these big teams because they play too good of a schedule not to win a couple of these.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think with like Cam having COVID, though, that's the one. You can just, like, throw it out. But now it makes those, like, much more important, like, later on when they play, like...
And you see it both. They go both back to practice this week, but another guy who's their second, well, one of their top players on the team, Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
But the thing is, their defense is so good. They're so deep in the secondary position that if they lose him for a week, it's really not that big a deal.
No. I mean, they filled in. They held him to 19 points.
Yeah.
They are like their offense, the pick six at the end, whatever. But 19 points, and to do that to the Chiefs, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, like you're sitting. I'm sitting there that night on a Mohegan Monday, where they're sitting pretty, and you're like, wow, if Cam Newton's playing this game, they're probably gonna win this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a top tier. That's the Super Bowl winning champions.
A team that most teams just like bow down to.
Yeah. What do you got to say over there, James? Look like you're.
How'd your week go?
we're gonna lay off the Cowboys for now, but to say, I mean, I think it's easy for Patriots fans like yourselves to just easily please. Say that if Cam had played in that game, they would have won.
They would have.
No, this is not a chance. The entire game plan changed once they found out Cam wasn't playing. For the Chiefs defensively as well. So I really think that, again, it would have been closer. Hoyer made some dog shit plays that you're right.
They were horrible plays.
Yeah.
They were in the red zone.
I mean, like, they weren't like they sucked.
Oh, yeah. I watched it.
They were in the red zone three times, and they didn't get any points out of that. If you have Cam Newton, you're getting
at least 14, one,
17 points there.
It's an entirely different game if he was healthy. And I understand you watch that, you're like, oh, well, you know what? I'll stop being such a devil's advocate. I think that you got to give credit where credit's due. The Patriots defense
played
phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
And I do, hey, I'm still in the Stealing Ass Survivor Pool. And guess who is on the Pats this week? Jimmy Mush. So if they lose this week, you're going to know why. Because I'm on them. And I desperately need the Pats to win this week to survive in the Stealing Ass Survivor Pool. So we'll see.
So the next three games, they got the Broncos, they got the 49ers who just got their heads kicked in by the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then you got a big game on the first against the Bills who just kind of took a fat L against Tennessee the other night. You know, I think that if they win these next two, they're going to go into that game because I know the Bills play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football next week, so they could be going in each 4-2, and that could be like a real decider on who wins this AFC East.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. That's going to be a huge game. And on the Bills, Josh Allen's looked fantastic, definitely. The Bills,
he was very vulnerable the other night.
He looked, but that was like the first team they really played that was like good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the Rams and the Raiders are like okay. If they show up, they're good, but they don't always show up.
Not to mention they're
still one score games.
I still think the Bills are sus, but they're up 28-3. I know they still won, but then they blew the lead and came back and won. It's like, God damn it. That's actually a great transition to my other bonehead of the week, which was the worst storyline I've seen all week. So my cousin texts me Sunday morning. It was just like, hey, Falcons lock today. I was like, I first made the Carolina Panthers a no-bet team. Now that's the team that you can't bet against because they'll beat you every week. And not to mention who bets on the Falcons. Immediately I said to him, when they lose today, Dan Quinn's going to get fired right after the game. What happens? They lose, and I think they fall to 0-5, and he gets fired. That's who it is. Bonehead of the week, Dan Quinn.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Blowing 28-3-point leads. And then you have me and Steele on the way here today. I was like, Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. And they're like looking over. He's a good quarterback. You put pieces around him. You should be able to, you know, have a couple playoff appearances, thing like that. But this guy couldn't even get it done. And no. Steele totally convinced loser. Me. I kind of felt bad for him. But no, he's like a loser that you read about.
Yeah, first ballot Hall of Fame loser.
Matt Ryan or
get him out
Quinn?
No,
Matt
Dan
Ryan.
Quinn.
Quinn.
Oh, Quinn. Okay.
I'm happy.
Matt Ryan's
a
loser too. Not a first ballot.
I wouldn't say that, Steele. I know he is kind of a loser because he, you know, blew that Super Bowl and gave Brady his fifth ring and all.
BC sucks.
But and Naz for some reason hates Boston College. You know, it's a great program. Yeah, but you should get used to the name Matt Ryan because he damn well I'd love to see the odds on this because there probably isn't any odds on this. But I can definitely see Matt Ryan in a New England Patriot uniform next season. Cue up I'm Coming Home by Diddy.
He's from Maryland.
Well, again, he went to Boston College. There's history there.
No, I actually don't hate
he's a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback.
I'm going to put another transition into you, and I think the guy who just got hurt last week is going to go sign with another team, and that opens up a spot, Matt Ryan, to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to start that speculation right now.
That's much more fitting.
That's
lovable that losers.
Yeah. Just put together.
You're kind of right. It is a bit fitting, but that whole Dak situation, it's just so tragic. And what would be insane, and I just kind of thought about this, and I think I would jump off the Weymouth Bridge, is if Dak gets on the Alex Smith program, gets healthy, gets back, we don't pay him, he's a free agent. And if Dak Prescott goes to the New England Patriots and probably wins like 3 Super Bowls,
no.
I'm jumping off the Weymouth Bridge.
I don't want him.
Yeah.
I'm with Cam.
What the hell?
I'm with Cam.
I'm with Cam.
I don't want a younger, better Cam Newton. I want the beat-up Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's a former NFL MVP who's been to the Super Bowl. Dak Prescott hasn't done anything.
Dak Prescott literally would have broke the passing yards record in a single season this year. He was on pace to.
And they would have went 7-9 and made the playoffs. That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
So 7-9 and make, I mean, 7-9 is a joke. You're right. But making the playoffs and also breaking the single season passing record, that's nothing.
Single season passing
record. And again,
record
the guy is 26, 27 years old. You're going to pick him over Cam Newton? Don't disrespect Dak Prescott. Do not disrespect.
I'd pick Joe Brown over Dak Prescott any day.
Easily.
Without
a doubt.
Now it's sad because I have no beef with Joe
Prayers
Brown.
Up to Dak
if I
Prescott,
see Joe
though.
Brown at the pub, I'm going to have to bottle him. I'm going to have to bottle him. This is that comment.
There's a reason why most of these Sunday night football and Monday night football and whatever primetime games, they showcase two guys, and it's usually the quarterback from the other team and Ezekiel Elliott. And there's a lot of reason for that.
What did you think of the injury? Did that like hurt you watching? Because it was a pretty
that
brutal
was tough.
Injury.
I mean, that was
the
tough.
You might not ever come
the
back.
Absolute irony of watching this game, watching the franchise of my favorite team's ankle break into half, and have the guy who for the last 10 years I've looked up to and had to defend on numerous times and occasions was the former quarterback of the team,
Andy Dalton.
No, the commentator.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Romo with the all-time call of, Jim, that you got to hope that's just a cramp.
Cramp he used, yeah.
You got to hope that's just a cramp. The guy's ankle is in two different directions. and he immediately, when he got hit, and he was Dak singled over to the sideline saying, like, this isn't good.
Yeah, like, it's all over.
What
it's
is
done.
Jerry putting that water over there?
It's crazy.
I think he dumps him down or something. Some type of gin.
And you got to think, for Jerry Jones' perspective, this is exactly why, maybe not exactly why, but definitely a reason why he didn't give Dak the big contract before the season started. Because this is always...
Yeah,
this,
he kind of looks like a genius.
He kind of looks like a genius, but now it's the reverse effect because the outrage...
What a giant scumbag.
Yeah, the outrage of like, oh, now if you don't give Dak his money, you are a fucking asshole. So if he gets pressured now because he's going to feel guilty about, oh, Dak has a broken ankle, now I have to pay him, again, which is kind of not smart to give a bunch of money to a guy with a broken ankle. So it's a very messy situation for my team in Dallas.
Since we're coming at you with like a bunch of Cowboys Q&A, I gotta ask this. So you see that ankle, he goes down out for the season. Got Andy Dalton, that fire crotch coming in. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton is what it is. But again, I think I can confidently say he is the best backup in the league.
I'll give you that.
He's definitely not Brian Hoyer.
I mean, Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Look out for Jameis. He's ready to throw a pick any second or touchdown.
I'll tell you what.
It's going to be either or.
I'd much rather Jameis Winston over Drew Brees after what I watched this past game. Drew Brees.
That's a stretch.
Drew Brees looks like what Colin Cowherd thinks Tom Brady has looked like the last 5 years.
Yep.
That's one of the most accurate things I've seen. So, yeah, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, I think, like Steele joked about earlier, I think could lead the Cowboys to a 7-9 season and win the division because the NFC East is
trash.
Is a dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you're still in play. You're definitely still in play.
Still in play.
On the other side, speaking of Tom Brady, I know tough loss to the Bears the other day, but him and Mike Evans are looking like, I mean, excuse me, but Randy? Like, I think, what's it, 5-6 touchdowns in
it's
the
up
red
there
zone?
Already, yeah.
Five
it's
for five with five teams? He's looking unbelievable.
Mike Evans is a big man.
Oh, my God.
That's a house of
That's
a man.
That's a bad man for you. That's a bad man. But, I mean, they're coming. They're going to play, I think, the Packers on Monday Night Football or Sunday or Monday Night Football.
The only 4 o'clock game.
Oh, it's the only 4
they
o'clock game.
That win
I'll take
Chicago,
a step back.
They
did, and they're going to get screwed now because they're definitely going to go down to Green Bay. Green Bay's, I think, the most impressive team I've seen.
They're definitely up there, yeah.
Offensive juggernaut. The defense can keep up with anyone.
That running game is ferocious.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Jones, bad man.
I mean, the Chiefs, like I said, looked like they had some holes. You know, want to give a big shout-out, too. They got Justin Herbert. He's a stud.
He has looked like
they're
an
not good
stud.
Right now, but they're going to be good.
Yeah. He looks like the future for them, for sure.
I want to say, I think if the Rays can advance to the World Series, that'll put a little pep in Tom's step to realize that he's in a champion town again. Like, you know, he knows how to, he plays well in champion towns.
Rays, the Lightning didn't win shit till Tom Brady showed up. All right. It's because of him.
Yeah. Wherever Tom goes, it becomes title town.
Yeah.
Shout out, Justin Herbert looks like a kid that legit is going to get a ladder and climb up the side of your house to go knock on the window of your daughter to see if she's still up. Like, Justin Herbert literally looks like he just graduated from Quincy High and is in the
maybe played some lax, you know,
yeah,
fuck
like
her out.
Just an absolute bro, but also just like 17 years old. But in the NFL, slinging it, I think he's up there for passing touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a hell of a week last week. They looked real good.
We'll see. The Chargers.
Magic had a pretty good transition to the MLB postseason talk, so I'm going to go with that.
I was going there, but yeah, he wanted to say what he had to say about Herbert.
Shout out Alex Smith coming back, too. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Before we switched to baseball.
We got right now, currently, on Thursday night at 9:13, we have the Astros walk-off home run, Carlos Correa, over the Rays. So now the Rays lead 3-2 with going into Game 6 tomorrow night. Pitching matchup still not yet to be decided, but I could possibly see Blake Snell for the Rays, and you don't really know who they're going to throw out there for Houston. Could be anyone. I just know Lance McCullers is coming for Game 7. I think Game 6 is the most important game in the Tampa Bay Rays franchise history.
I'd agree with
that. It's up there. I think today's was big, too, because they threw like a rookie today, the Astros.
Yep.
You throw a rookie today, you somehow scrape out the win. You've won two in a row now. You're bouncing back 3-2. Like, I think today was a huge loss for the Rays.
Yeah.
Especially a walk-off.
But you let them tie the series up, and Lance McCullers, who's been around since they won the championship in 2017, you give him the ball. He's got a lot of clutch factor. I see a lot of similarities just because we're doing it all with the 04 Red Sox and what the Astros are kind of doing. I know completely different clubhouses, and they have guys who've been there before, and Tampa's the other side that don't really make a lot of mistakes. But if you lose game six to Houston, I think Houston's going to pull it off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're like, yeah, I completely agree.
That's a shit ton of momentum.
Yeah, like that's tables have absolutely turned. Regardless, go Braves.
Boston
fuck
Braves.
Them all. Fuck them all.
I'm good with the Braves. Yeah. Man. I don't want the Dodgers.
Like
to
the Rays. Like, I want the Rays to beat the Astros, but the Rays can suck it too.
When we look back in this Rays Astros series, the biggest turning point, which is you think it would be minor, but I think it's a big turning point, was when Kevin Kiermaier for the Rays was hit by a pitch on his hand.
Yep.
And
what a shame.
He missed today's game. And one of the best things about the Rays is their defense. And without him on the field and him with a banged up hand, it could cost them a whole series where they're up 3-0. So
yeah, and my steel salute this week is Randy Arozarena. Came in, shut down the Yankees. Are the Yankees playing tomorrow night, Steel?
When's
game six?
No.
No.
I'm so baffled right now. Is Naz doing a steel salute?
Yeah, I am.
It doesn't even make sense.
Because Randy took down the Yankees, shut him up. That big payroll,
yeah,
Garrett Cole,
the stud,
went
his name,
down.
Dude.
And then
he's
comes
literally
in.
Staring at
I
his
think
phone.
He said it wrong, too.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Randy Arozarena.
Yeah, say it again.
Randy Arozarena. Seven more times I'll say it. Yeah. My bottom line, this guy, they said that he wasn't even made the opening day roster, and now they're intentionally walking him in the ALCS. This guy, Randy, only other guy, yeah, whatever
Randy.
It is. Randy. Taking a new one in and kind of trying to propel Tampa to the World Series.
Fuck him.
And then on the other
side. Steel's hurt.
Yeah, Steel's hurt.
There's not even any need to weigh in on Steel.
You know what's sad?
When's the parade?
We have the one Rays fan in this entire state, and he's not even here.
Exactly.
For this.
I was just going
Oh, no, I wanted them to beat you. Don't get that. But then I didn't. I don't know.
I got my birthday wish. They beat the Yankees on my birthday.
Yeah,
good.
No one gives a shit about your
birthday. I think everyone cares. You were even there for my birthday. He was there, too.
Yeah, after work for like a second, then I left for the pub.
Shout out Brittany Mahan.
I don't know about
who do you
that.
Think's winning the World Series?
I'm going to stick with Dodgers. My initial thing from April was Dodgers over Astros, so I'm going to stick with that. I think the Astros pull it off.
So you also think the Dodgers are going to pull it off?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Dodgers
are
going to win.
One.
The Dodgers are going to win the next three games. They put up a 15 spot after two innings the other night. That team is electric. I get the Braves. It's a great story and everything, but it's ending soon.
Did you see that kid's tweet? That was I was just like help, and it was a screenshot, and he had the under of that game, and they had 11 runs, and he had 11 and a half, and he was just like help, and it was like one out in the first. Like it literally just said out.
I also had the under in that game. And
oh, jeez.
Yeah,
I beat brother.
Zontan was rubbing it in your face.
I am the worst gambler of all time. It's just a fact.
At least it's out of the way quick. Yeah. Like you didn't have a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah.
Like you true. Just like that
it
money
was quick
gone.
And,
like,
it was kind of painless. It was kind of painless.
Like, yeah. I know what's gonna happen now. I don't have to watch the game.
Yeah.
It's great. I can go take a walk or something.
Yeah, because you know what I mean? So if you win that quick,
sell my
fun.
Body on the street. Get
we'll,
that money back.
We'll do an assembly line. Who you want to who do you got win the World Series? Dodgers.
Braves.
Rays. Yeah, Rays.
you said Dodgers?
Braves.
Braves?
Rays.
Dodgers. Cowboys.
Pick them.
Give me the Braves. Let's go Braves.
Right, so Dodgers.
Done
Let's go Braves.
Well, that's our MLB postseason talk. We're going to get on now to the NBA Finals aftermath, where Rajon Rondo won his second ring over the Heat in six games. Don't really want to talk about LeBron
let's keep
here.
Keep this short and sweet. This is a fucking fake thing. LeBron can't even count this. As a
yeah, can't count it.
This is a joke of a playoff.
I'm happy. Are you happy for guys disgusting. Like Rondo and Dwight Howard winning championships?
I don't give a fuck.
I'm playing
Rondo.
I'm playing
Rondo.
Fuck, about
fuck
Dwight
Howard. Yeah, fuck yeah. Dwight Howard.
Rondo, I don't Rondo gives
Rondo
a shit
down.
About that.
This
honestly.
Was more challenging to win. I've joked because I fuck the Lakers. I'm here. I hear you guys. Fake ring, whatever. This is not a fake ring, sadly to say, because, man, this is more challenging than any other season there's ever been. So anyone that says, oh, any sports league that has a championship crown this year.
Respectfully disagree.
I get it's different, and but it's also more challenging, and the playing field is level for everyone. So I don't want to hear it's a fake ring.
If the Golden State Warriors were healthy, they would have smoked them.
Fuck no.
Warriors in four, maybe five.
Maybe five. I'll give them five.
Yeah, LeBron steals one.
But the whole big thing I got about it was Magic Mike's Heat in seven prediction falls short.
Oh. Barely. It was pretty close. You were close, man.
Yeah, I don't know. LeBron was always going to win this year.
You could tell they were like, that game five, they were like, we're getting the fuck out of this bubble. Or game six, whatever it was. Like, they were like, we're pommeling this team.
Yeah,
and they massacred them.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah. Like, they're like, we're going home.
You know who's, speaking of fuck them kids, you know who is actually the most upset about the Lakers winning the championship and the season being over? Bronny Jr.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's kid got caught smoking that loud on Snapchat. And you know for a fact, it's actually he had a public appearance he actually canceled because he's grounded. Because, the video of Bronny Jr. smoking that loud went viral. And you know LeBron's going to put that whooping on
grounded.
Him once he gets home. Yeah. So.
Bronny Jr. can't be grounded.
Like right?
So my last thing, I just want to touch upon it. Rondo to the Celtics, right? We're all in agreement.
Yeah, let's
I would
bring
him here.
Let's go.
Bring him on the pod. Get him here.
Or Danilo Gallinari.
I don't
and
know.
Keep Marcus Smart.
Naz, you might have been in the bathroom, but we did want to just shout out the big UFC fight coming up next week.
I was here.
Okay.
Steele, what's your salute of the
week? To go to the UFC real quick. For the salute, we got Joaquin Buckley with maybe, arguably, like the greatest knockout in like the history
of
the fight. It was the most retweeted, most viewed thing in the history of the UFC. If you haven't seen it, the second this ends, just literally go on Twitter.
Show me that. I haven't seen it.
He like in UFC.
He like
it's a Rob Van Dam move.
He faked one kick, and the guy was holding it, his other foot.
Yeah.
And he just comes out of the woodwork and just
plants him.
Punts him.
Square in the grill. He stumbles over.
On the money with the Rob Van Dam comparison. This is like Rob Van Dam's one of his signature moves.
But it's real.
Yeah. But it's real. Kick in the face. Knockout. The dude looked like he was in the Matrix. He was in the fucking air for so long and then just crumbled.
He's like standing up completely unconscious for like a second and then just falls. So salute to him. His first UFC win. He's been fighting since 2014. This entire time, like currently, he has a second job at Walgreens.
That's big.
Like that guy has the greatest knockout in UFC history.
He's got the
poops. Like he might have gone to Walgreens today for like his shift. Like that's fucking nuts.
I highly suggest too going back and watching the entire fight because I think it got to that knockout was in the second round.
I think so. Yes.
And both those dudes are chiseled to stone.
Yeah.
Two black men out the gate were just. Letting it fly. Like I had the under 2.5 rounds, and let me tell you something. I the only success I've had bet sports betting so far is with the UFC. And man, when that knockout kick happened and the under hit, I literally could have fought anyone in the world. I'm getting fired up just thinking about it right now.
This is why we play.
Yeah, this is why we play. This is why we're alive. Man, I would even dap up the dude that got knocked out and been like, yo, you. Good shit,
yeah,
man.
That
like,
was awesome. Like, fucking, that was sick.
Like, thank you. Like, I immediately left my room. I showed my mom the highlight on Twitter. I showed my dad. Like, I'd never do that shit. Like, I that knockout is something. And again, I suggest watching the whole fight because it was electric.
Yeah.
Speaking of like Hollywood and TV and everything, I could so see like one of those scenes. He just goes in the Walgreens the next day. He's like, fuck this shit, man. I quit. For real.
Yeah, like the wrestler. He just has it.
Yeah.
Leaves. I'm back in action.
The Walgreens career is over after that kick. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
I'm sure he made a decent amount of money with the UFC fight, but with
performance
that knockout,
of the night
that historic moment,
shit, yeah.
He's going to make money all the time.
So we have our fight of the year, most likely, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, every UFC different because like the first fight on a card could be the best fight of the year. Like that's the crazy part about the UFC.
Of course, yeah.
But we have Justin Gaethje and Khabib going after each other.
Right.
Fight's been... You know, waking up for a while. We've been ready all for this. Going to be next Saturday, October...
24th or 25th, whichever one of those is Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 in the afternoon. Khabib, obviously undefeated, juggernaut, future Hall of Famer. When you got Justin Gaethje, who, you know, wasn't really going to have this opportunity and then kind of just smoked Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
And like, okay, he's the next man up. And you know what? I'm not giving him a big chance, but I didn't give him a big chance either against Tony Ferguson.
No, why would you? Would you have? But dude, he pummeled Tony Ferguson.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Massacred him. So like I'm ready. Rocky IV, let's go.
Back on Tony Ferguson, I think the biggest thing, which is kind of my alternate route looking in this fight, is if if Khabib like tunes up Justin Gaethje, what does that say about Tony Ferguson? Does that mean like Tony Ferguson's best days are behind him?
Or he's like 35.
Did he just have a bad night? Yeah, I mean, I just think the more competitive this is, I'm going to be like, all right, Tony's right in it. But if he just gets pummeled, which Khabib's been known to do that even against top-notch guys. Oh, yeah. You look at like Conor McGregor, guys like that. I think Khabib dominates this. It's easy to say that in any fight. But I think it's going to be closer than people think. But I think when it comes to it, his father just passed away earlier this year. So he's going to be fighting for a lot of things, not just, you know, the 1-0 record in the ring.
I know, but that's a big thing too, because we don't know how that's going to affect. Like, that could help, and he could absolutely massacre him, or it could negatively affect him as well.
Get in his head.
Yeah, like it could. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll find out next Saturday. But I think it's going to be awesome.
Pumped for the fight.
Gaethje's supposed to have great wrestling skills, and he's never used them. Like, the UFC has literally never seen it. He just does what he did to Tony Ferguson. But if he has to use them, we'll see.
Yeah. And the 2 p.m. start time?
Reckless.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up reckless.
It is going to be a let it rip weekend. Don't forget, the night before is fucking Rough and Rowdy. Rough and Rowdy's back. Lights Out Lang's Lights back. Out Lang. I mean,
it's going to be a weekend to never remember.
Yeah. Just get your beers. Yes. Get your beers now. No plans.
You can't remember.
Find out where you're watching these fights and settle in and get everything you need. Chicks, whatever.
I just think, too, back on the Khabib thing, that, like, I hate doing cross sports in UFC because UFC is such a different sport than everything else. But it's like preparing for the Tom Brady Patriots. Like, you're going to get everyone's best game. So when Khabib steps in that octagon, you're going to get everyone's best effort to try to beat you.
Oh, yeah.
I know Conor McGregor, when he was up and coming, even when he was about to fight Nate Diaz, we're like, oh, yeah, no chance or whatever. And then when you see the chokeout, you're like, holy smokes. Ronda Rousey, too, with Holly Holm. It could just be that one.
That one was from the clouds.
Yeah, that one little thing from the clouds that just ends it. It's not like a football game where the Patriots go down 28-3, and you're like, okay, maybe they can come back. He could just get kicked in the face, and that could be over. I don't think that's going to happen, but just little things like that where you can be like, oh, my God, it's over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Swift kick. The one last week.
Exciting, no matter what.
Yeah. Sandhagen. Just like,
I'm sure there's some other good fights on that card too, right? This is obviously there are.
Yeah, I'm sure Volkov fights Walt Harris, and I forget what the second one is.
It's not as stacked card as you think.
No.
I'll say
it
that.
It doesn't matter. It's 2 in the afternoon. We're going to be rocking and rolling.
Naz says this could be the fight of the year, and it definitely could be. But what is probably going to be the fight of the year next year is already going to be in January, which it's going to be McGregor versus Poirier in the house that Jerry built, the greatest, most prestigious stadium in all of sports. Fucking big enough to have everyone in the world in it, even with coronavirus going on, because it's such a beautiful, ginormous stadium. And that's going to be the fight of the year in 2021, if it happens.
Fair enough, yeah.
Place has rats.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of fought.
Any place has rats. Your place has rats.
I don't think that one does have rats because Jerry fucking eats them because he's a monster. He's a freaking reptile.
Every place has rats.
Standing tongue, fucking going nuts.
Huge place. Of course it has rats.
Those two, though, Dustin Poirier and McGregor, they fought when they were just like kids, so this is going to be such a different fight.
The first one like doesn't count for this one, definitely.
But you know what? You haven't really seen too much of a sample size from Conor McGregor, I mean, outside of last year when he pummeled Cowboy, but I mean, Cowboy's kind of been a punching bag for a lot of people recently. And Dustin Poirier, who did he fight last time? Because that was he could have lost.
That was Dan Hooker, maybe?
Yeah, Dan Hooker.
Darren Till?
Dan Hooker.
I think it was Dan Hooker. And Hall fell there. It was one of those two.
The Hooker. I think you're right. Yeah. And that could have gone either way.
Great fight. That was a sick fight.
But I'm not going to give my prediction. We'll wait till January or whatever.
No, McGregor gets fucking waxed because he's already 1 foot into Hollywood. And also flirting with having a boxing match. Also flirting with working with Vince McMahon. Like, get the fuck out of here. He's so big time now. Poirier is going to wax the floor with him.
I don't think I'll watch McGregor Pacquiao. I don't think I'll give a shit about
it. I'll definitely watch that. You gotta watch it.
You're gonna be at the pub. It's gonna be on at the pub.
No way.
The pub doesn't have pay-per-view shit, man. Come on now.
Only pay-per-view.
They do have Red Zone at the pub. Wow. Found that out like last week.
Oh, I might be there Sunday then.
Yeah, Jesus. It's like 2 out of 4 of the TVs.
We still got that $200 a burn for softball too that Shawnee O has. Probably spent it on strippers. But yeah, I think that's where we end. I think we end with Sean on strippers.
We can wrap it there.
Yeah,
yeah, folks,
what a dark place to go.
Want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Michael Mitchell coming on the pod. That was great, you know, having a transition from sports to, you know, pop culture and Hollywood in that perspective. New Steel and Naz t-shirts have been here. Yeah, just give us a shout if you want one. We're going to do a little bit more of a campaign than we've been doing. I know everyone's been busy. Yeah, anything else?
Excited to go to Hollywood. Yeah, I think. James is going to hook up with the AT&T girl. And
oh, my goodness.
I hope this guy takes us to Hollywood and makes our dreams come true somehow. I don't know.
Basically, all that's going to happen, Dak's going to recover, going to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl, and Mike Mitchell is going to introduce me to the AT&T girl. We're going to get married, and life's going to get back to normal. Coronavirus gone.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
Well, that's a great fantasy there, James. We'll wrap it up there. That's all from Steel and Naz, Naz Music Radio, the Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, guys, and one love. Slow-mo shout-out.
Peace. Bye, folks.